Yo, 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 what is going on? It is your boy Snack A coming at you with the second episode of the Snackcast. Finally, almost 3 months of me delaying, and I can't go any longer without giving y'all some content. So, got a lot to catch up on. So, initially, I was going to do an episode about talking about VR because I did recently acquire the Oculus Quest 2 back in January of the new year. And yeah, so we're going to talk about that. Do I think VR is worth buying right now? I'm not going to lie to you. It's probably still not worth it. I mean, there are some notable games. Like, I think there's Alex from Valve. Beat Saber is still great. I played this other game called Demio. It's a very honorable mention. But, yeah, it kind of just depends on, like, how you, like, view money. I still think Beat Saber is amazing because when I saw it, like, what, 4 years ago in my friend's VR headset, the game's magical. You can also just, like, play custom songs. You put it in there. It's really fun. It's this generation's Dance Dance Revolution. If you guys know what that is, then we're probably about the same age. If you're not, then that's fine, too. I don't know where I was going with that. But, yeah, Demio is kind of, like, it's the closest I'm ever going to come to playing something like Dungeons & Dragons, except you don't have to come up with a story. You're just playing with like a board and you can play with like three other people. And since it is a VR headset you're playing on, it has a mic built in. So you can actually just talk to the people that you're playing with. I've played with random people along with one of my friends. So just two randoms. So it's up to four players. And I haven't had any bad experiences. So I'm not going to lie to you. If anything, it probably enhances it because then the extra communication going on, so the enemies start scaling up to you, so you have to do more damage to kill them, etc. It's all really good fun. Demio, I hear it's actually going to PC soon, and what's really cool is it's a VR game. It's actually cross-platform with all the other VR headsets. I don't know all the VR headsets and stuff like that. I just went in completely blind, got a Quest 2 because my friend got a Quest 2, so it'll be a good game, but yeah, I think that's super cool. You guys should definitely check it out. It's pretty awesome, Demio. So why I have such high praise for Beat Saber and Demio is because I never got motion sickness from playing those games. So when you buy games in the virtual reality game stores, they actually tell you like how intense it is. And I think like Beat Saber and Demio are like one or two, if even that. And it's like out of like five. So the latest game I bought was Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, and I can't play that game longer than like 25 minutes because I get so motion sick. It's absolutely insane. There's this other game I also played that was pretty good, Until You Fall. I could also play that for like 20 minutes. So you have to like build tolerance into it. If you're not like really into that and you know you have like very limited time gaming and stuff like that, that's why I say the VR headset might not be for you. But yeah, you know, in the end, it is just a console, so the specs in the device will never, ever get stronger, and you can't, like, exactly add it on because it's a console, unlike a computer where you could just swap and modify parts. You have to straight up just buy a completely new console, which is why I also say it's not quite worth it. But I think the idea is also very cool. I think virtual reality, just like exploring in space, has always fascinated people, and it will always continue to do so. But I would still hold off onto virtual reality just because like when I first started playing virtual reality and I played like some of the old games. So the Oculus Quest 2 store, it's just like Steam. It has that game policy where you can play a game for like up to 2 hours. And if you don't like it, you could refund. It takes a little bit longer for you to get your money back, but the refund is still there, right? So I played some of the like the very games that came out on launch, like Arizona Sunshine, all that. And the games, just the quality of it just really didn't impress me at all, which is why I say the technology is just not quite there. There's never been a time where I popped open a game and said, wow, I can actually like confuse this with real life. You can clearly, very clearly tell that you're still in a game. I also noticed that like most virtual reality games, if you can move, it's generally when you're like pushing up on a pad. So you're never actually like fully moving the character step by step. I guess they're worried that people will like run into their surroundings or stuff like that, because not everyone has the environment for virtual reality, but that's just something I noted. So instead of walking step by step with your character in games for virtual reality, you'll be pushing up on like this lever for your controller. And that will basically teleport you like a few meters or inches into the game. So that is also one of the main reasons why I was getting motion sick for some games. Until You Fall has it, Walking Dead has it, Arizona Sunshine had it. So yeah. So the second thing I was going to talk about, so that's how long this episode's been coming, is the new latest Batman movie. Everyone has such great reviews for it, and I know people that know me think I'm always going to be critical and stuff like that, but I did not enjoy it. I did not. It might be a good movie, but to me, it's not a good Batman movie. So these are some of the what the reviews have had to say. And everywhere I look, it's literally, they all say the same thing like this. Flawless presentation, cinematography, sound design, editing, color scheme, integration of the score, pacing the monologues, all meticulous and perfect. I will tell you one thing, though. I actually loved how Gotham looked. There was actually some times where I literally like thought to myself, holy shit. Is this really New York City? Because I got to start going out more. But actually, turns out they shot like some shots of like in Chicago and Los Angeles as well. So it wasn't all New York City, which made sense because I was like, is this really my city? Like, it made me question. I'm also from New York, if you guys can tell. So I think the casting of the characters were really good. I think the villain's climax or master plan of the movie kind of fell really flat. And I think a lot of people that give credit to this movie, they have some prior Batman experience. If I was completely new and wasn't a huge Batman fan and didn't even know what Batman was, I'm not sure I would like this movie. Because there's like a lot of stuff that they hint or like they don't exactly talk about. But if you have prior experience, you would be able to kind of understand where they're trying to go with it and stuff like that. But if you completely went into this movie, didn't know anything about Batman, you probably would not enjoy it. You would probably be just wondering why everyone's praising it and stuff like that. And that is how I feel about this. And my feeling about it is not going to change. The movie was 3 hours long and the pacing was still awful. I remember when I left the theater, I just looked at my friend and I said, what did they do to Batman? Because my favorite movies of all time is the Dark Knight trilogy. And of course, it's hard to not compare stuff, especially when there's other forms of media out there. But like I said, if you knew nothing about Batman, you probably wouldn't really understand what was going on in this movie. What's even more annoying is that Batman, people keep giving excuses for this movie on why it's good and like the criticism it receives. They keep saying, oh, you know, he's not like the Batman yet. It's just 2 years in. It's a young Batman. You know, he's vulnerable. He's reckless. Stuff like that. Well, guess what? They call this man the world's greatest detective, yet he didn't even solve the crime that Riddler did. I think it's a very good point when they're talking to him at the end of the scene when he's interrogating him. And Riddler says, wow, you're really not as smart as I thought you were. And then it seemed like multiple times after that, before that point too, that the movie was going to end, but it just kept going. It was like I was watching a TV drama and they just kept stalling and stalling, waiting for like the next season. That's also why I don't really watch much TV dramas and stuff like that. Because like the moment you watch it, they're just, especially when you know the people that wrote the script are just trying to go for it. More seasons and more seasons, so they keep getting paid and stuff like that. That's exactly how I felt watching this, because this 3 hours was a slog fest, man. It was, oh man, there was actually like multiple times where I was always questioning why did this happen, stuff like that. So they literally at one point, you know what, these are actually kind of movie spoilers, but they literally capture the Penguin and they just like tie him to like this pole and they don't even like call the police department on him. Batman and Commissioner Gordon. Well, he's not even Commissioner Gordon yet. I think he's just like a captain or something in this movie. But yeah, they just let Penguin go. And then at the end of the movie, you see Penguin. And we all know he turns out to be a freaking major villain in the Batman franchise. but it just makes no sense that they just let him go. There's a lot of stuff, but they do kind of go with like a very different story and approach that I haven't like really ever seen. I'm not knocking it on that, but yeah, I think the fight scenes were rather pretty weak as well. The color scheme went with how they were going for like a noir. I think a lot of inspiration they said was from the movie Seven, which I watched, and I never got bored watching that, but I did get bored watching this. I kind of had my head on one of my hands just yawning for most of the movie just because the pacing was so absolutely terrible. So basically, my point about this is you can actually have new stuff and a new approach for anything, but it has to be enjoyable. And I did not find this Batman movie enjoyable at all. But he did have some good quotes. I think the Riddler was very good. He was very unsettling. He actually disturbed me a lot, so he definitely did his good job, that actor. But yeah, I mean, I think Batman is definitely more than how they're portraying him in movies. Like how he doesn't really talk that much, especially when he's actually supposed to be super smart. He just like grunts or just like, you know, he just like talks with his eyes, etc. But yeah, we'll have to see how this movie is. This whole time I was just watching, I was just like, so is this movie going to end? Is this movie going to end? Nope, it just kept going. It just kept going. I think they focus a little bit too much on Catwoman. I loved her performance, but we all know Catwoman is going to leave anyway at the end of the movie. So I don't really know why they focus on that much. But we'll have to see what happens in the second movie, if there's even a second movie. And yeah, we're going to be talking about Elden Ring now. Yeah, Elden Ring. Possibly the game of the year for 2022. And it came out like in what, February? It's a really good game, man. It's a really good game. I did not expect it to be that good. When I initially first played it for like the first hour and a half, I thought it was just a regular Dark Souls game, but it is just so, so much more. There's just so much details to go into it. Like just more styles than ever to play it. I think this is like the best the community for the Dark Souls franchise has ever been. People are actually helping each other. People are making videos, right? They're making shorts on YouTube, TikTok, giving out tips, tricks, etc. The first half of Elden Ring is truly magical, and a lot of studios can learn a lot from making open world games like this, because I've never been so frustrated with setting a waypoint on a map and trying to go to it, realizing that I can't go there, so I had to go all the way around, and all of a sudden 15 to 20 minutes later I end up in a completely new region, and I'm always asking myself, Do I belong here? Am I too overleveled here? Or am I too weak here? Well, you'll never truly know until you just die a few times and you have to see how much damage you're outputting and upgrades, etc. wise. But yeah, it's actually pretty good. It's so good, actually. The first half of Elden Ring, I would probably give it like very close to a 10. It's like a 9 something. Maybe even a 10. But the later half of the game definitely stalls, because this is From Software's first open world. I have to take away some of the points, right? Because it wasn't a completely perfect game. You're going to see a lot of recycled enemies, that some enemies that were mini bosses or bosses at one point just become regular grunts you see out in the open world. There's a lot of reused assets. All the dungeons are kind of the same. The rewards for clearing the dungeons could have definitely been a lot better, because they're just literally all summons. That's kind of also why this game is a lot more approachable than the other Dark Souls games, because I know a lot of people used to gatekeep in this franchise. So if you're not like rolling or using a shield, you're basically considered cheesing the game. And cheesing is like, you know, kind of like you playing the game how it's not meant to be, even though it's clearly in the game. But I think that's also why I said this Elden Ring community is a lot better than the other games, because there's so many ways to play this game. That I literally had a friend at one point. I think he bought the game 2 days after me, and he actually surpassed my progress because he was having so much fun with the game as I made like 2 to 3 characters. His name is Johnny. This man was using magic, he was using summons, he was using weapon art from his attacks. This game has so much customization how you want to do it. I can't even fully get into it because I only used like 3 to 4 weapons in my entire playthrough. But you can definitely use more than that. Elden Ring, you just have to play for yourself, man. It's really amazing. So another game I also recently beat was Ghostwire Tokyo. And I was initially excited for this game because the studio Tango was known for its survival horror. And I was expecting this game to be a survival horror. I didn't do my research. It's a pure on action game where you're just exercising ghosts and stuff like that. There's only one type of weapon, your hands, and there's three elements. So you don't even have four elements. So you're weaker than Aang from Avatar. You can also use a bow and talismans. But arrows and talismans generally cost money and they're just really not that worth doing. It's got the clear Ubisoft open world thing where you just keep going up towers. And then you can keep opening up the map because you're not allowed to go into certain areas until you clear it. The story was absolutely so weak. The cutscenes weren't properly voiced at all or lip synced. Honestly, it's just a huge mess. It's a very, very average game. I was very disappointed with Ghostwire Tokyo. But I can't be too upset because Elden Ring and Sifu, you have to play those games. They're amazing. Sifu, I was actually very frustrated with how big of a skill gap the last boss is compared to all the other bosses, especially because I was relying on this one particular mechanic and it didn't work against him, so I had to get good, as they say. But yeah, Sifu, it's pretty good. Make sure you test it out or play at some point in your career. Or just wait till it comes to Steam and it's not an Epic Game Store. And the last topic of discussion we're going to be talking about here, can't really think of anything else, but we're going to be talking about the Jujutsu Kaisen movie, Jujutsu Kaisen Zero. I just want to say that anime movies have come so far, man. They used to be very limited. I remember like seeing them in like trailers when I was watching other movies, and they would only be at select theaters, and they'll only be there for like 3 days or something like that. I'm not talking about like, you know, like the Studio Ghibli that are like in theaters and stuff. I'm talking about like full-on anime movies. Not to say that Studio Ghibli movies are not anime. They're most definitely anime. But you know what I mean, right? Like standalone stuff that doesn't quite have a name for itself. I remember the very first anime I probably watched, maybe even the first movie I watched in theaters. I don't know. I was very young, man. It was definitely that Pokemon movie of Mewtwo, right? Where Pikachu cried when Ash got turned into a statue and stuff like that. And then Mewtwo realized that, you know, he was being heartless and, you know, he had to change his ways and all that. I think that was like the very first anime movie I ever saw. I know there was like what, Naruto movies and Bleach, stuff like that, but they didn't like stay in theaters that long. This Jujutsu Kaisen movie has literally a showtime for like every single day of the week. It's crazy. Oh, and of course, after the Pokemon movie, I did also watch like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie, but I don't think I watched like any other anime movie besides that. But Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, it was crazy. Like my friend said, I went with like three other friends. We went to see like a 9:30 p.m. showing, and we were the only weebs in that theater room. But still, it was super crazy to see an anime movie in the theaters. I'm definitely going to be watching Jujutsu Kaisen Zero again when it becomes available. But, you know, I had to show out and support. The movie was really good, man. It was really good. My friends meet me and I said it was pretty good, and I just gave it like an 8.5. And he's like, what, just good? That's kind of like excellent, man. But yeah, movie did its job. I usually don't like prequels because I think it's very lazy, because they're only able to have so much room to play around with because it's a prequel. And they do have like some characters, so it's mostly just like fan service, right? But I do know that this material in the movie is actually in the manga. I just kind of wish they showed this part before the original anime came out, but I understand that's also like a gamble as well. But this movie made me want to rewatch the anime. You should definitely check it out at some point. It's pretty good. I like the Demon Slayer movie a little bit more, but yeah, you know, that's Demon Slayer, right? Like the way they incorporate Japanese folk music and then all the other beautiful scenery that they put out, that UFO table does. It's great. It's a good time, man. It's a good time. So yeah, I'll be seeing you guys later. Thank you so much for watching. Hopefully that was well worth the wait. I can't think of anything else, but yeah, anything else I want to talk about, it'll be in episode 3, and definitely won't take 3 months this time, right? Y'all have a good one. Peace out. You can catch me on twitch.tv/snackay, S-N-A-C-K-A-Y-Y. If you ever need other podcasts, of course, there is my boy David, who has the General Release podcast, where they talk about shoes and fashion, etc. Jamato TV, where he is a famous Twitch streamer and he interviews people in his community. So that's JAMATOTV. And then there's Hysteric with his boys Javon and RZA, where they talk on My Gaming Academia, where they talk about video games and psychology. All right, signing out. Peace.